The Holy Gospel according to John chapter 11. This will also serve as the sermon text this morning. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. Many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him while Mary was sitting in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha replied, "I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even if he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never perish. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." Jesus was deeply moved again as he came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. "Take away the stone," he said. Martha, the dead man's sister, told him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor because it has been 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." After he said this, he shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, with his feet and his hands bound with strips of linen and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus told them, "Loose him and let him go." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We consider words from our gospel lesson again, John chapter 11. I'll just read one verse. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even if he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never perish." This is the word of our God. And so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, look at the things that we've seen this Lenten season. In these last 4 weeks during Lent, our Savior Jesus has gone toe-to-toe with Satan and conquered him, defeated him in temptation. He declared himself to be the Savior of the world, the one whom God sent in his incredible love for us. Then he showed how this love is universal as he brought the water of life to a woman from Samaria. Then he healed a blind man and showed him the light of the world. Each week you think perhaps, okay, Jesus, what are you going to do next? You can't possibly top that. That was pretty incredible. And each time he does. That's the feeling that you get when you read through the book of John, too. It's one chapter after another of Jesus saying something that is, it seems, more profound than the last thing that he said. He does something that is more miraculous, more powerful than the last work. So, one more powerful work we have before us today. A demonstration of salvation. In this text again, on this fifth Sunday in Lent, Jesus goes even bigger. In fact, it's a prelude to what we're on our journey to see, to that journey of the cross and then the empty tomb, Jesus' victory over death itself. He says of himself, "I am the resurrection and the life." And this, according to John, is his final impressive act before his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, which we'll observe next week. So today let's pause to see Jesus, who is our life from the grave, to glorify God and to give us life forever. As we look at these words of our text, we marvel at in the same way that the blindness of the man who was born blind, that was for the purpose of bringing glory to God. So also these events that happened to Lazarus, his sickness and his death, were to bring glory to God. Jesus said as much in the beginning of the chapter with words that are before our text. Lazarus was sick. Jesus was informed of it. And yet he waited. And he said to his disciples, "This sickness is not going to result in death." And you may think, well, surely Jesus knows what's going to happen if we don't go and help him. And in fact, Jesus knew it was going to result in death. Ah, but that would not be the end of this story. Jesus went on, "This sickness is not going to result in death, but it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Already Jesus knew. Jesus knew that Lazarus was going to die, but that was not the end. Friends, right from the start, let that be a lesson for us as well. Our sicknesses, our sufferings, our trials, our crosses that we bear, they are not the end in this life. Even death itself for us, that's not the end. There's something even more in store for us than death and the grave. God's glory. The glory of the Son of God is shown through my sufferings, through my crosses, yes, even through my death. All of it is for the glory of God. So we marvel at the text as it unfolds, that Jesus allows death to happen. He waited, we're told before our text. He let Lazarus die. He let Mary and Martha grieve. He allowed Jews to come from Jerusalem, which was only 2 miles away, to come and comfort Mary and Martha in their grief. In fact, 4 days he allowed that to go on so that he could demonstrate and prove the point that he has the power over death, that it wasn't just asleep. Lazarus was in the grave for 4 days. It was to the point that when Jesus finally did arrive, Martha said to him, "If you had been here, he wouldn't have died." And then Mary says the exact same thing when she meets him. She said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And in fact, some of the Jews who were there used it as a criticism against Jesus' actions and his behaviors in this way when they said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, by delaying, allowed all of these things to be said about him, all of these questions to be asked. Why? Why would Jesus allow his enemies to find reason to criticize him? Well, maybe that's not such a difficult question to answer. Unbelievers will only ever find fault with Jesus, only ever find reason to complain. But how about a more difficult question? Why would Jesus allow his friends, the people he loved so much and cared for so much that you can see in the text, he wept. And he was deeply moved as he went to the tomb. This was Mary and Martha and Lazarus, his friends, whom he cared for so deeply. Why would he allow them to suffer? If we have trouble answering that question, just give consideration to what the Apostle Paul says in our epistle lesson to Romans. He writes, "Now if we are children, we are also heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, since we suffer with him, so that we might also be glorified with him." There it is, friends. Jesus does all of this so that he might be glorified. We suffer with him to give him glory. We experience death, pain, sorrow, and loss so that Jesus is glorified. And not only that, but so that we're glorified with him. Jesus makes that same point in this context of the account of raising Lazarus. Yes, he delayed. He allowed Lazarus to die. He let him stay and start to decay in the ground for 4 days, so that when he approached the grave, Martha would say, "Don't do it, Jesus. Don't open that grave, because the body is going to have started to smell bad." And Jesus' response to her was this: "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Did I not tell you? Didn't I tell you? Watch and see, and you will see the glory of God." Of course, this is a glorious prelude, a preview to Jesus' own resurrection from the dead. If there were any misunderstandings, any misgivings, any doubts from Jesus' disciples about what he had told them again and again would happen when he goes to Jerusalem, this should put those all to rest. Victory over death and life from the grave. Glory be to you, O Christ. And then not only will God be glorified, to think, we share in that glory too. Look at the glory that Lazarus received here. From death to life. He is the one. He's the one that God brought back from the dead. What a glorification for Lazarus. He's the one who came back to life. He's the one who's given second breath. The one given new life again. This is the man whom God raised from the grave. And even Mary and Martha, for the family, to think their sorrow was turned to joy. Those who gathered to mourn then had reason to rejoice as they experienced the glory of God at work in their own lives. Friends, this is how God works for us. Through cross, through trials, through sufferings, God allows them. He sets us up to say, "Where, God? Where are you?" So that he can answer us, "Aha, here I am. I've been here all along. Did I not tell you?" So let's also give some special attention today to the conversation that Jesus had with Martha, even before he raised Lazarus from the dead. There's most powerfully profound words in this text, and they fit right along with all of the other powerful I am statements that Jesus spoke in this Gospel of John. I am the water of life. I am the bread from heaven. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. So now he says in this chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. What exactly does that mean? Here, Jesus, who delayed himself from saving his friend from death, as he finally approaches 4 days later and Martha runs out to meet him, she says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Look at that amazing trust that Martha had, even before anything was done. She knows that Jesus could stop death. She knows it. What's more, she goes on to say, "But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Does she believe that Jesus can raise Lazarus from the dead here, even now? Even before Jesus says a word? Absolutely. Anything you ask, Jesus, God will give it to you. Ask for Lazarus to come back from the dead. God will grant it, she says to Jesus, before he says any word to her. Friends, do we have such faith in Jesus? Anything. Anything that Jesus asks from God, God will give it to him. What is it that you need? What is it that you desire most from Jesus? Pardon from your sins? Sins so great, you wonder, could Jesus even forgive that? Do we have such confidence? Anything you ask from the Father, Jesus has already asked. Even as he was hanging on the cross, Father, forgive them. To those who nailed the nails into his hands as they crucified him. Friends, our sins are not so great that Jesus, who asks for our forgiveness, grants that very forgiveness by his death on the cross. So trust. Trust that Jesus knows exactly what you need from the Father. Trust him that much. And Jesus doesn't disappoint Martha with his response. He says to her, "Your brother will rise again." Jesus. Jesus is life. He is resurrection. Nothing, not even death, can separate you from him. Now, we may wonder, was Jesus talking about his resurrection here and now at this time when he said to Martha, "Your brother will rise again? Or was he talking about that more glorious resurrection on the last day? That's not the point. There's a more important point that Jesus has yet to make. And yet he doesn't disappoint Martha as he responds to her. But Martha responds and acknowledges Jesus' power over death. Her faith in the resurrection of the flesh on the last day, an eternal life with God. She says to Jesus, in perhaps one of the most profound statements of faith that have ever been uttered by a believer, recorded on the pages of Scripture, she says, "I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." That's a statement as confident and as beautiful a confession of faith as the one that Job spoke in the Old Testament. "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the end of time he will stand over the dust. Then, even after my skin has been destroyed, nevertheless, in my own flesh I will see God." What incredible faith God granted to Martha. God, give us such faith and confidence, even as we confess those very words ourselves every time we say the creed. "I believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting." Yes, this statement from Martha is as powerful, as beautiful as that. "I know." Not "I hope." Not "I wish." Not "I think." Not "maybe." "I know." Give us such confidence, Lord. Give us such confidence at every funeral that we attend. Give us faith at every graveside that we visit. Give us this knowledge, Lord. Not hope, not wish, but a certainty. Incredible confidence at every deathbed. Even and especially at our own deathbed. "I know that I will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Well, now the more from Jesus. As if that truth, the beauty that was expressed, couldn't get more glorious, here's Jesus' words to Martha in response. "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even if he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never perish." First, a truth about Jesus. He is the resurrection. Not he causes the resurrection. He is the resurrection. He is the life. Not he brings life from death. No, he is life itself. Death has no power over him. He is life. He is rising. And because of that fact, because of that truth about Jesus, that's what he comforts us with. The second statement that he makes, "Whoever lives and believes in me will never perish," intensifies and builds upon the first statement, "Whoever believes in me will live, even if he dies." Even if you die, you will live. Think of that. Death is nothing to Jesus. That's why as he went to that graveside at Lazarus, he told his disciples, "He's sleeping." That's why when he went to another graveside, to another funeral, he said, "The child is not dead, but just asleep." This is the way death is to Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. The person lives, even if he dies. And then he intensifies that truth with absolutes. When you live, that is, when you have faith in the Son of God, you certainly cannot perish ever. You will live forever. Here on earth, your life has meaning. It has purpose. What a life, the life of a believer. Martha's life, even in the midst of tears and sorrows and sadness at the loss of a brother, her life had purpose and meaning because she lived and she knew that Lazarus lived too. And then, when death comes knocking for us, it's nothing more than a gateway to that eternal life with Jesus face to face in heaven. There is your forever life. There is your glory. There is your Jesus. And the crosses that we carry along the way have a way of providing that wonderful perspective for us. Jesus is our life. He is our life from the grave. Surely Jesus speaks comfort to Martha as she mourns at the death of her brother. Jesus tells her he lives even now. And then he raised Lazarus from the dead just to prove his point beyond any doubt. And then, friends, he went. He went and proved it one more time. How exciting for us. Even in the midst of Lent, while we're on a walk, a journey to his death, he shouts out in the middle of that trip, "I live. I am the resurrection and the life. I am your resurrection and your life, and you will never die. No, not ever. You will live with me forever." Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen.